Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Verses 27 through 38. As you hear the words of Scripture, think to yourself what words or phrases stand out to you. Some Sadducees, who deny that there's a resurrection, came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a widow, but no children, the brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first man married a woman and then died childless. The second and then the third brother married her. Eventually, all seven married her, and they all died without leaving any children. Finally, the woman died too. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? All seven were married to her." Jesus said to them, "People who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to participate in that age, that is, in the age of the resurrection from the dead, won't marry, nor will they be given in marriage. They can no longer die because they are like angels and are God's children, since they share in the resurrection. Even Moses demonstrated that the dead are raised in the passage about the burning bush when he speaks of the Lord as God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. He isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. To him, they are all alive."
Good morning. So just a little bit about myself before I start. I'm Chaplain Mark Jones. I am an ordained clergy out of the North Georgia Conference, the United Methodist Church. And so this is a faraway place for me, but I'm always being plucked all over the place, so I'm used to it. And that's, we go where we're sent, right? So currently I serve in the Navy, and I am on a ship, the USS Anchorage. It is an LPD. It's an amphibious type ship. So we load up a bunch of Marines, and we haul them around and let them do their thing, and we have a good time, and it's fun, but it's challenging and it's tough. But it is in a maintenance phase right now, which gives me a great opportunity to plug back in with the local worship community. And I'm grateful that Pastor Bob has given me a chance to be here. And so I tried to share this earlier too. You missed this, but I tried to be like Pastor Bob. And so I knew there were jeans. I confirmed. And I knew there was a blazer, although you're not wearing it this morning.
I'm just a musician.
Okay, got it. But normally there's a blazer.
It's up there.
But I missed the shirt. Sometimes it's a t-shirt, right?
Summertime it's a t-shirt.
Under the blazer. I missed that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel okay because I'm wearing a short sleeve underneath the blazer, so I still feel good. But where I really messed up was the sneakers. I should have put my Converse on this morning, and I would have had it down. But here I am. So I'll do the best I can, Pastor Bob. So I want you to think a little bit again about the text that you discussed, and you're thinking, what in the world is going on with this Luke passage? Some of you, this is the first time that you've seen this text. But I'm going to invite you into a little bit of a story, and what we're going to be talking about this morning is living. What it means to have life, and why living is important to God, even though this text seems to speak a lot about death, okay? And so the story is this complex question regarding marriage in relationship to the afterlife. But what the story might actually reveal is our own views of what life after death really looks like. And this is a question that all of humanity wants answers to. It's not just disciples, it's not just Christians, everybody grapples with this story. The The good news is it's a conversation we can all have, because guess what? One day we're all going to die, and we don't know when. But this question brings a lot to the table when they bring this to Jesus. And so a couple years ago, there was some research done at the University of Southampton. And what they did is they started recording kind of what's happening in near-death experiences, right? And so a lot of the research, as they started piling these interviews together, was that people in near-death experiences may have an awareness of up to and around 3 minutes post being pronounced dead. And it's intriguing stuff. And you see, science even seeks answers to what's coming after life. We've come so far with our technology and all the things we're doing in the world, but there's so little we know about an experience that happens to every single individual, past, present, and future in humanity. It's intriguing to me. And so when we talk about what's coming, this isn't just a Christian pursuit. This is a human pursuit. And for us as disciples, Jesus has some lessons for us in this really cryptic passage that's strange to talk about. And so the first thing I want you to think about after you heard that text is that we really don't know what we don't know. That's a phrase in the Navy, right? So chiefs say, we call them like the backbone of the Navy, right? They've worked hard. Anybody know a Navy chief? Some of you might know. And they keep the ship going, right? And so chiefs will say, they'll tell sailors, listen, you don't know what you don't know. Don't try to pretend that you know what you don't know, because you're going to make yourself look really bad. Focus on what you do know and then figure out what you don't know, right? But leave the rest to everybody else. And so the Sadducees base their question to Jesus on a Levitical instruction. And so that's coming out of a very sacred thing, the Torah, okay? They know the law on the marriage. They know the law implies that family takes care of each other. The brother will wed the widow to ensure future generations and to give property security to his bloodline. It also took care of the widow to make sure that she was not thrown out to the wilderness with no rights. And so often it's easy for us to push what we know about living onto what we don't know about death. And so the Sadducees are coming with this afterlife thing, and they're saying, well, we know a lot about what the instruction, sailors know a lot about instructions. It's live and die by the instruction, right? These Sadducees are the same way. They're saying, look, you know, here's what the instruction says on marriage, but how is that going to work out when we're gone? What is marriage going to look like? And the assumption is that in the resurrection, marriage will naturally be a part of who we are as people when we're gone. But Jesus says, not so. He says, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so for some of you, you've had these long, amazing marriages. And for some of you, those marriages are gone because one of the two have gone on to the next life. But it's been a very sacred bond to have such longevity. And maybe when you see Jesus' words here, you think, gosh, that's kind of unsettling. Because my life was with this one person that I loved for a very long time. But for others, maybe you've had the experience of marriage, or maybe you know someone who has, or you've had a long-term relationship, or maybe you know someone that's experienced abuse in that relationship, or you've seen this experience that sometimes two people may not just get along as time goes on. We change. Things happen in life. And maybe they stay together for the children. There's all kinds of reasons that we stay together. And so for some of us, we look at this and we look at it differently. And maybe instead of feeling uncomfortable that it's not going to look like a long marriage into eternity, that maybe it's a relief that our afterlife isn't going to be focused on the things of this life and what marriage might mean now. But the point of all this is that we don't know because none of us have died. But the Son of God reminds us, and he's fully aware of what it means to have eternal life with God. Because we know in John, the infamous John starts with, "For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being." You see, Jesus came from the eternal. He's offering something fresh from the eternal. He's been there. He didn't start with life on earth. He was in the beginning, got part of God's plans from the beginning, part of the reconciliation of humanity with God. And so Jesus says, you and you and you and you, we're going to be alive. And living is going to be good for us, and it'll be joyful. But if we continue to keep looking at death based upon what we assume about life and what we understand about life, it's going to get really confusing for us. Because in that age, we cannot depend on what we know to be real and true about this age necessarily. And so, for Jesus, maybe marriage wasn't the most important thing. You see, what Jesus is doing here is the second point, is he's saying, let's shift our focus a little bit back to life. Let's focus less on death, and let's focus on life. Don't make your assumptions about death based upon what you know about living. The resurrection does not mean that we will have the things that we necessarily put our trust in now. And so when I was a kid, I thought a lot about death, okay, because I was interested in what heaven was. And so my idea as a child was heaven was a glorious water park, because I had this awesome water park as a kid. But it was like times 10. There was like so many different water slides. And then in the middle of the water park was a giant Christmas tree, because everybody loves Christmas. And I figured, well, in heaven, it's going to be Christmas all the time. So the slides all kind of came to a pool by the big Christmas tree in the middle. But the slides, they were like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So they had chocolate that went down the slides, right? Because that made it even more exciting. You were sliding down these water slides of chocolate, right? But then as I got older, I realized, okay, the water, I don't know. Maybe the water slide thing, I don't know. And I started asking kind of in middle school some other questions like, well, what about Grandpa? Grandpa had two wives during his entire life and had divorce in his life. So who is Grandpa with in heaven? Those are the kinds of things I started thinking about when I was in middle school, right? And then as I got even older, I was sitting in a Bible study, and I remember this Bible study in youth group Wednesday night. We had Wednesday night Bible study. And I remember somebody asked, because we were talking about heaven, and the Bible study leader said, well, imagine heaven is that you don't think about any of the other things we have right now, because all you think about is loving God and loving each other. So it's like worshiping God all the time. Right? And so then my high school mind was like thinking about Sunday worship, right? That it just would just be this unending worship service that just went on and on for eternity, right? And in my high school mind, that started bothering me too. So I could never get to this place where I felt super comfortable, but one thing was in common, that I constantly placed everything that I believed about what's coming when we die on what's happening to me in my experiences as a living person. And I think a lot of us do that. And Jesus tells the Sadducees They're asking the wrong questions. The marriage thing, you're coming about it wrong. They will become children of the resurrection in that age. Jesus points to the story of the burning bush and the fact that the dead are raised. Moses himself showed. And the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He says, the dead will be raised. That there's something there. The dead will be raised. And so what heaven isn't about is us worrying all the time about what we presume about the world to be assumed about heaven. And maybe we're fearful because there's a lot of things we like about this world. There's a lot of things we enjoy about this world. And if I can't have any of those things, how is it going to be joyful to me? But here's where the living peace keeps coming back. We affirm that life is a gift from God. We affirm our ultimate purpose is to point people to reconciliation, to right the wrongs with one another and with God. Everything else is just these awesome gifts, and they're really good things. And sometimes we have a great marriage, or we have kids, or we have the celebrations like graduations and confirmation and the things we celebrate as a church, and we have all these things, and they're wonderful, and they make us feel great. We have Christmas, and we have Easter, and we have Netflix, and we have, you know, things that bring us joy. But that's great. But at the end of the day, they're gifts. And as time goes on and we get older, we don't take gifts for granted. Now, the material stuff, it's cool for a time. But as we get older and older, we realize people matter. Being there for people. And people being there for us. These are gifts. But it doesn't mean that that's everything that this eternal thing stands for. We just enjoy being with the living and experiencing those great gifts that God gives us. And so for some of you, you're thinking about this message and you're thinking, wow, this is, I don't know, it's a little concerning to me. Okay, because I thought it would be like it is now. I thought, you know, marriage would matter and I'd have all these same, you know, maybe I had 10 dogs and they're all dead now because I'm, you know, I've gotten older, but they'll all be there. Okay? Jesus is saying, let's change our focus a little bit here and kind of let go of what we presume about the living. Even things that feel great and give us joy, because it's so much more than that. And your last point this morning, God is not of the dead. God is God of the living. Our passage, verse 38, it ends with this. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. So they ask this crazy question about marriage. And at the end, Jesus says, I'm going to tell you what I really am thinking about when you're asking about the nuances of how this is going to work with all these wives, that God is not of the dead, but he's of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. You see, Jesus is speaking truth and power to us. We will be alive. Whatever fears we have as a humanity about death, or ceasing to exist, or ceasing to have consciousness, Jesus is saying, stop. Let that stuff go. He's affirming to us we do not need to be afraid of death, because death no longer has power over us. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. That's Paul in Romans. You see, there's no fear for us as people of God when we think about death. God is about creating. God is about sustaining. God is about redeeming. God is not about destruction, death, or even non-existence. God's character ignites purpose. It ignites life. We have visions and glimpses of real living as we live this life. And maybe we don't understand that it won't be about seven wives and how it's going to look when we're gone. But it's still okay and it's still good because our God is the God of the living. I want you to think about this for a minute. There's people who have died that are living all around us. This is where I think Jesus is really going. There are people who have died that are living all around us. They've died inside because they no longer feel there's purpose in their life. They've lost hope in anything that's meaningful. Death isn't just a mortal death, my friends. I believe people die every day, even though they continue to breathe, because they have nothing left to live for. What we can affirm as disciples is what Jesus meant when he said that God is a God of the living. We can show people life. We can show people hope. We can bring joy. We can bring goodness because God has been so good to us. So to close out this morning, I want you to remember living, why it's important to God. I also want you to remember tomorrow's Veterans Day. I want you to remember that regardless of your feelings on war or the politics of war or the military, or that we don't necessarily always agree with our leadership or the direction or diplomacy that America is and where we stand with other countries, I want you to remember that there are people like on my ship, and they're human beings. I remind sailors they're human beings every day because they're the humans that at 18 raised their right hand, not knowing what they're doing, not knowing how they feel about war, because nobody's ever asked that question, not knowing a lot about a lot of things, like most of us were when we were 18. And those sailors, they're hurting just like the rest of us. And all that have come before them are hurting for all kinds of reasons. And they walk amongst us. I see them on the streets here. I live right up the road. Remember them. Remember our call to be with them regardless how we feel about the military they've served. And maybe they don't like what they did. Maybe they do, but they might be struggling. Remember to be present with them as well as we remember Veterans Day tomorrow. I invite you to keep the prayers of this worship community and keep the people that you know are struggling with heavy hearts, those who are sick, those who may be on their deathbed. Keep those in this worship community, friends, family members, in your prayers. I also invite you to remember our veterans tomorrow. Remember Armistice Day, what it originally stands for, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, when our arms came down in 1918. We remember that's significant for a people of God because we remember we are part of a God that brings peace. And we put our arms down because we believe that peace overcomes all and that reconciliation has the final say. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of what is significant about what you believe about us. And God, that you value living as significant. Lord, be present with those who are hurting, that even waking up each morning is a challenge. Those that have lost purpose, those even in this congregation that struggle day to day. Be present with them as well. Show them life. Show them purpose where they fit in. Show them connection here. That we can be accountable to each other and love and compassion and forgiveness for one another. And God, let us remember our veterans, those who have served, and that regardless how we feel about where the world is heading or our policies as a country, God, that we can remember those who gave that sacrifice, and for some, they gave the ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, teach us to pray as you taught the disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.